This is Bruin Radio, a weekly student show from Brookings Harbor High School on the Wild Rivers Coast. By tuning into our show, you're getting the latest news, interviews, music, poetry, and more from the outstanding Bruins of Brookings Harbor High School. We are happy to broadcast on KCIWLP in Brookings, Oregon on 100.7 FM.
Today's Bruin News episode features the work of student journalists Justin Van Ginderen, Ethan Warner, Jed Doan, Gage Westbrook, Isabella Freitas, Bridget Mitchell, Andrew Watling, and Maxim David.
Hey, this is Ethan Warner of NHS. I want everyone to know that the Empty Bowls fundraising event in late January was a resounding success. Empty Bowls raised over $1,100. Over 150 people attended, and approximately 20 handmade bowls were sold. Thank you to all the organizations that donated the food items, and the adults and students who volunteered their time for this event.
Well, Ms. Mitchell, here it is, the morning after the Sadie Hawkins dance. Tell us, roughly how long did the event last?
So, the event was from 8 to 11. It was quite long.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of people there, about 30.
About 30?
Yeah.
Now, when you say 30 people, are you including, like, the adult chaperones who were there?
No, I wouldn't include them.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really headcount them, but there was a lot of chaperones there.
Mm-hmm. And was the music good? Was it bad, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah. The music was pretty good. It was very, very new and very great.
Well, you'll recall that Bruin News took a peek into the music suggestion box that was put up, but we didn't see any suggestions in there. But did you get the impression that this music was actually chosen by your peers and fellow students?
I got the impression that it was definitely chosen by our peers, but it was like on a track, so it kept on. Once the track got through, it just repeated from the start of the track, and then it would go on.
Sure. What's your theory as to why only 30 or so students came to the dance?
Well, they probably... I don't think I can say that. I'm just going to say it anyways. They're probably scared by the breathalyzers that were at the front of the door.
Oh, my. Tell me about the breathalyzing.
So, it's a giant stick for breathalyzing, and you blow into it like you're blowing out a candle and you're an old man. and it will turn green after a couple seconds if you are sober.
Who was conducting the breathalyzing?
It was Mr. Merritt.
So why do you think students didn't come because they were scared of the breathalyzer?
Well, they might not be sober.
Oh, I see. What was the theme of the Sadie Hawkins dance?
It was black light theme, so everybody was wearing like white or something neon that would bounce off the black lights, and it looked like a raven there.
Did it look pretty cool?
Yeah.
Well, Ms. Mitchell, thank you for going and reporting on the Sadie Hawkins dance for Bruin News.
Of course, anytime.
The Multicultural Club was selling red envelope grams all week last week. They were to celebrate Chinese New Year, a celebration that marks the beginning of the lunar calendar. Each year is represented by one of the 12 zodiac animals, this year being the year of the dog. The red envelopes are a tradition that largely takes place in countries with significant Chinese populations. During Chinese New Year, they are gifts that you can give to anybody and usually contain a message. Here at BHHS, they were sold at $1 each with an optional message and candy.
Hello, everybody. This is field reporter Dane Tipman, and I'm here with Cindy Badger. Cindy, tell us, what do you do for the Brookings Harbor School District?
Hey, Dane. I am like the school district food director for the schools here in our lovely community.
And what does it mean to be a food services director?
I manage all three schools. I manage the whole entire food service program for the district. We're a state-regulated program that really is geared towards the nutrition for the kids that they get on a daily basis. We make up our menus, and it's a state qualified menu that we serve.
What were some of the items that were on the menu last week?
Oh man, I think one of the biggest things that we had was our make your own sandwich bar. There was choices of breads that the high school and Azalea got to pick from, numerous kinds of meats that they got to pick or combine, and three different kinds of cheeses, you know, along with our two salad bars that's just filled with whatever vegetables that you'd love to put on your sandwich.
What are some of the items that are in your salad bars at your schools?
Oh, we have tons of items, and depending on the seasons, lots of different kinds of vegetables. We really like to make a variety for the kids to see or try and taste. I want to say we have probably one of the best salad bars in town. Between all three schools, we have two salad bars in each school.
Excellent. Cindy, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Dane.
BHHS teacher Layla Bryant recently hosted the BHHS Poetry Out Loud competition. The winner of the competition is Annika Nelson, who read A Song in the Front Yard by Gwendolyn Brooks. The runner-up is Bridget Mitchell, who read For Allen Ginsberg by X.J. Kennedy. The students were graded by teacher volunteers on the presentation of the poem as well as on their accuracy in reciting the poem. Both students will head to the Medford Poetry Out Loud Regionals on March 3rd. The Poetry Out Loud competition is partnered with the National Endowment for the Arts and Poetry Foundation. Friend of the show, Bridget Mitchell, recorded her poem for us before the competition. Here it is.
For Allen Ginsberg by X.J. Kennedy. Ginsberg, Ginsberg, burning bright, taunter of the ultra-right, what blink of the Buddha's eye chose the day for you to die? Queer Pied Piper, howling wild, mantra-minded flower child, queen of Maytime, misrules Lord, bawling dropout all aboard, finger symbol chanting foe of fascist, bane of bomb, proper poet's thorn inside, turner of a whole time's tide, who will fill your sloppy shoes? What a catch for death, we lose glee and sweetness. Freaky light, Ginsberg, Ginsberg, burning bright.
We have one of the contestants, Bridget Mitchell, here in the recording studio. Bridget, how did it go?
Well, of course I lost to one of my most beautiful friends, Annika Nelson. She is very wonderful and I love her absolutely dearly. But it is a little bit saddening that I lost. It was also very nerving to go up there and be graded by teachers that I knew very well or some that I didn't know very well.
Did you have a favorite part of the competition at whole?
The part where I lost?
That was your favorite part.
Well, yeah, because my friend won.
Okay, never mind. Why did you choose the poem that you read at the competition?
Well, Allen Ginsberg was a very inspirational writer. He wrote about justice for people who didn't get justice at the time. He was a poet in around the mid-60s, I think. And he wrote a lot about LGBTQ plus youth. And he was also a really big advocate against war and such things like that.
That's
yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, it was really good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Izzy, for having me here today to answer these questions for you.
Questions.
Thank you, Izzy, for having me.
You don't get paid enough.
I don't get paid anything.
Not you.
Oh. Oh, him. Okay.
The Bruin Coffee Cave is going to be releasing credit cards and stamp cards. Come to the cave for information and to hear about our St. Paddy's Day special.
This week started with President's Day. Students and staff did not come to school on Monday because of this holiday. My favorite president is Abraham Lincoln. He fought to make things right in our country and take off slavery and just help us. He also is a huge just advocate for anything that we need with freedom.
My favorite president is Obama because he has done a lot of things for our country while he was in office, such as DACA, the net neutrality laws, and Title IX, and fighting for many different people of all different backgrounds.
Mr. Doan, tell me, who is your favorite president?
Barack Obama, because because it seemed that he generally cared about the American people.
Hi, this is Justin Van Genderen interviewing Mr. Good. So, first question, how was the festival in Bend?
Aka awesome. We had a great time. The kids got a chance to work on stage with Deke Sharon, who's kind of like a national, well, is a big national figure in the a cappella thing going on right now. And so they had like 25 minutes on stage with him. And then the show that night, they all come out, they all have their own individual mics, and it's a big show with lights. And so that was all a great experience. And as well, they got to hear a professional a cappella group called the House Jacks. So that was, you know, just kind of the highlight of the first night. And just really proud of our kids getting on stage with kids from all over Oregon, from great big high schools, and just really rocking it and doing a super job right up there with all the schools that we saw. So I was very, very proud of them.
All right. And are there any future events coming up?
Well, since this festival was so close to Valentine's Day, what we usually do for Valentoons is really getting kind of shortened up so we can squeeze a little bit of that in. So then we won't have another performance again until right after spring break, first week in April.
All right.
And then we have some festivals right then and festivals in May as well.
All right. Sounds good. We look forward to this.
Thanks.
The Brookings Harbor Lions Club reached out to Bruin News last week, informing us that they have developed a new scholarship available to graduating and returning students of our area. It is called the Brookings Harbor Lions Club Student Scholarship Application. Senior students of the Brookings Harbor High School, senior home school students, and senior Christian school students and continuing students may apply for this scholarship. Students must be pursuing a career goal related to the following fields of study:
the communication, social, or community service fields.
The education field.
The medication field. The medical field.
Or the wellness or exercise-related field.
Brookings Harbor Lions Club Student Scholarship Application will be available to download on the local Lions Club Facebook page and on their website. The deadline for the application is March 31st, 2018.
Applications are also available at the BHHS Counseling Office. Bruin News downloaded the application. In addition to the usual required personal information, the application asks an applicant to do the following:
list volunteers or community experiences.
List school activities, clubs, or hobbies.
List awards, honors, or certificates of achievements.
Write a one-page essay about your current community involvement and service and/or future goals.
Include three letters of recommendations or references contact information.
Include a copy of a recent school transcript. Thank you, Brookings Harbor Lions!
Here is Angela Acosta announcing the launch of her senior project.
For my senior project, I decided to go through the $1 for Life and Days for Girls organizations to help young girls in Africa. In Africa, these young girls are uneducated on their menstrual cycle. They barely have any education at all. Every cent donated to the project will provide a kit with 8 washable and reusable pads, 2 exterior waterproof shields, 2 pairs of panties, 1 washcloth, soap, and a discreet bag for transport. In America, we are oblivious to the fact that this is a problem for women in developing countries, even though it affects over 50% of the population. The project is rated high priority based on girls dropping out of school because of their menstrual cycle. The goal of the project is to raise enough money to buy 10,000 kits to girls in Nepal, South Africa, Zambia, Kenya, and Malawi. $1 for Life and Days for Girls are both nonprofit organizations. $1 for Life usually focuses on providing education and building schools for developing countries, and Days for Girls spends every cent they make on the kits that the Girls Equality Project will be making. The organizations are going to send women to Africa to teach the girls how to use the kit and further educate them on their menstrual cycle. I chose this as my EA project because I'm interested in philanthropy. A philanthropist is a person who works for charities or nonprofits. I want to go to PSU and study business management, then go on as a graduate student to study nonprofit business management. I think helping people in need is very important. I believe in doing things for the greater good. I'm very excited to start the fundraiser and help these girls. I know that if I were in their position, I would take any help I could get. Education is so important. Education on your body is even more important, especially as a young girl in a developing country. I will start the project March 5th and end it March 9th. I really appreciate everyone helping me in any way that they can.
This is reporter Isabella Freitas, and I just read the report on Jeff Cruz's sexual harassment allegations, and I think that he's really creepy. He should not have been allowed to keep his job as long as he had, because he was already warned in 2016 after behavior like this continued, and it's just now 2 years later that action has already been taken against him.
I'm Justin Van Genderen, student journalist, and I'm reading the summary of the findings for the Jeff Cruz sexual harassment assault allegations. It seems like they threw in sort of a red herring with the cigarette smoke. It's saying that they don't generally find him as like a bad person. They think he genuinely cares, but they don't like the odor of his cigarette smoke. Just kind of weird and random. Ooh, he was warned about it in March and did not stop. That is not a good thing. Close talking and hugging was triggering her asthma. I mean, I'm not exactly sure that that's how that works biologically, but I don't know, I guess if she was uncomfortable, it makes sense. Made jokes about sexual harassment training that he received. It's questionable. Escalated after he was warned. Also very questionable. Seems like he just kind of didn't take it seriously until it was too late. I mean, the amount of women and the fact that they really don't have anything to gain, particularly, by getting rid of him, it would appear. Like, a lobbyist. I don't know what a lobbyist would have particularly to gain by getting rid of him.
Cruz is a bad person.
No, read the whole sentence.
I do not believe... Oh, okay.
See the difference?
Yeah.
The big difference between Cruz is a bad person and I do not believe that Senator Cruz is a bad person.
This is weird. This is such bad formatting.
Tell me what you mean.
Like, it, like, cuts the sentence in half so you can't really... You lose your train of thought when in between the pages, so you can't... You get lost.
Do you think that's intentional?
I don't know. I hope not, but...
Today, I went out and I looked at the senior shirts that are on sale, and then it's $10 for all t-shirts. All sweatshirts are $30. There are white jackets that zip up for $40, and then golf towels are $10.
So, Izzy, which one would you buy?
The golf towel?
Why would you buy the golf towel?
Because it's only $10 and I have too many t-shirts.
That's legit.
There are white t-shirts, gray t-shirts, and dark blue t-shirts. The sweatshirts come in all the same colors, and the zip-up jackets are all white, and then the golf towels are all blue.
And they say golf towel on it.
We just confirmed with Tina Peters that all the money going to the senior sweatshirts and shirts and golf towels and white zip-up jackets all go to the senior account. Anything that is left over from the senior account will go into the leadership's account.
Student reporters Isabella Freitas and Maxim David researched the International Association for Suicide Prevention, or IASP. The Brookings Harbor High School Interact Club is planning a fundraiser in April to support this organization, and we wanted to know exactly who they are. The IASP is a nonprofit, non-governmental organization that is founded by the Austrian suicidologist Oren Ringel in Vienna in 1960. With the aim of preventing suicidal behavior, to alleviate its effects, and to provide a forum for academicians and mental health professionals. IASP members, which includes both professional and volunteers, are located in more than 50 countries. Recent countries that have joined the IASP include Canada, Norway, and China. The IASP earns money from donations that are made by individuals and organizations, and by selling products such as suicide prevention awareness pins. They also hold events such as the World Suicide Prevention Day, an event that is endorsed heavily by the World Health Organization. The IASP also hosts an Asia Pacific Regional Conference, as well as an event in Northern Ireland called Breaking Down Walls. Thank you to Isabella Freitas and Maxim David for their research work.
The LGBTQ+ and Straight Alliance Club is working on participating in the GLSEN Day of Silence. GLSEN stands for Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, and it is an education organization focused on ensuring safe and inclusive schools for all students, regardless of sexual orientation, gender identity, and/or gender expression. Their Day of Silence, this year on April 27th, is a student-led national event where people usually take a vow of silence to highlight the silencing and erasure of LGBTQ people at school. GLSEN states that this is needed because nearly 4 in 5 LGBTQ students don't see positive representation in their curriculum. Nearly 9 in 10 experience verbal harassment, and almost a third miss school for feeling unsafe or uncomfortable. But because participating usually means staying silent the whole day, this can interfere with schoolwork. This is why GLSEN advises that students interested in participating discuss their intentions with their administration and teachers long before the event. Some teachers ask students to speak as they normally would during class and remain silent during breaks and lunch. Other students take a vow of silence on social media. Our club is interested in participating because we feel that it is necessary to stand in solidarity with LGBTQ students that may feel silenced, unrepresented, or unsafe.
Hi, I'm student journalist Justin Van Genderen, and I'm here with a special guest. Please let the listeners know who you are and what you do here.
My name is Blythe Wardwell, and I am the Power School person for the district. And I also do state reporting.
All right. And the first question, what is PowerSchool?
PowerSchool is the computer program that we use here in Brookings Harbor School District. That is our student information system, which entails all the information about each student that's enrolled or has been enrolled with us, a lot of information about the teachers and the courses that they're teaching, how many sections they're teaching, immunizations about each student, like other demographic information or SSID information is what most of it's called, which is the state-issued number that every student in the state of Oregon is issued by the Department of Education. And, you know, their date of birth, their name, their middle name, what grade they're in. If they're in high school, what was the cohort year, the very first year that they started in. Their address, that kind of stuff.
So it compiles everything?
Yep.
All right.
Stores all their grades, all the different classes that they've ever been enrolled in and dropped and stayed in and got a grade for, all that.
All right.
The duration of their time here in the school.
All right. Thank you. What is a student information system?
Well, it's a system that stores, you know, takes a you can take your attendance, it's got your grades, has all your courses that you're offering in your curriculum, or like, for instance, if you're high school, obviously we have a lot of different courses that are available. Then it also, like I said, has a bunch in regards to the students individually, you know, like where their home address, their mailing address, you know, who they live with and what those phone numbers are and who their emergency contacts are, their immunizations. You can look up if they've ever, when they enrolled here, maybe you were here in the second grade and moved away, and in sixth grade you came back, and now you're here in the high school, and you know, you can look at every single class that you've ever enrolled in while you've been here. It's just student information systems are programs that track all of the information connected to a student in a school district.
How do we use the student information at BHHS?
Well, I said we, you know, teachers use that that system to do their grade books, to do attendance. Our attendance office say they track attendance and tardies and absences and, you know, excused absences and unexcused absences. You also grades, you know, the registrar, she's always storing and keeps the transcripts current and up to date. The immunization piece, because you have to be current in immunizations to continue to be enrolled and come to school. We also use our information system to populate all of our state reports that we submit to, and they're made or created or constructed by the PowerSchool people have built them into that system so that they you know, we go in, we put in the parameters of the report that we like, a date range or something of that nature, and run the report, and it comes out into the format that we need it into to upload it to the state. And it pulls it all from PowerSchool.
All right. What is ADM?
Average daily membership. In essence, that would be, you know, like we have, you know, X amount of students in the school district or in the high school, you know. And then on average, how many students are in attendance?
All right. What is ADMR?
ADMR, I believe, is kind of like the same kind of thing, average daily membership resident. So sometimes we have students that live in California that attend, or, you know, maybe somebody's, you know, in Gold Beach, and that isn't really... You know, Brookings, they isn't necessarily their resident where they live school, their neighborhood school, but they attend here for various, you know, whatever the reason is. And yeah, it's a little bit of a process. You just have to get the permit to come. And, but those that live here, this is their resident school. In bigger areas, bigger towns where there's maybe multiple high schools or something of that nature, you know, maybe you want to attend high school A, but you live in the region for high school B. And it's not that you can't, but that isn't your resident school. And if you did live in, you know, going to, you, no questions asked, you just attend where you live. Mm-hmm. But if you wanted to go elsewhere, then you get. And so, you know, that's the resident piece.
All right. And how does the state use this information?
There's a lot of different reports that we submit throughout the course of the year, and they vary. The one that we do the most often is called the, you know, ADM, and it's four times a year, first period, second period, third period, and then annual. And that is based on attendance, basically, and enrollment, you know. So for instance, you start the very first day of school, and you never, you know, go enroll anywhere else, or you never 10-day drop, your enrollment never stops. It's always through to the very last day of school. Well, then basically, you know, you have your days absent and your days present, and how many days was school in session? And it's sort of a head count in that respect. Now, kids that maybe they're here for the very beginning of school for a month or two, and then maybe they moved away, and then later they came back in the same school year, they would have multiple entries, but, you know, they would have that. You would be, documenting isn't exactly, but you'd be making a record of when they're with you, at meaning the school district, and when they're where they're attending, because, you know, they're supposed to be attending, and if they're not, then they're a little in the wind, and, you know, it's best to get them back enrolled in school if possible, or a diploma if possible.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's it for this week's Bruin News.
Two of our regular student journalists wanted us to try some different music to close out the show. Listeners, let us know what you think of this potential change to the outro music. You've just heard Bruin Radio, a half-hour student-focused program brought to you by the students and staff of the Brookings Harbor High School, in partnership with Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW. Content for this program is provided by the Brookings Harbor High School. To view the credits for this episode, visit kciw.org/credits.
Hot dog! This is KCIWLP out of Brookings, Oregon, broadcasting on 100.7 FM. Oh boy!